Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
No, indeed, there's no England now. And we're next. The Arabs have taken over England, they're taking over the Middle East, and they're going to take over America. Welcome to The Savage Nation. Oh, I realize these are harsh words, and sure to excite the ire of the thought police. But let me read you some headlines. Are you ready for them? Arabic is the fastest growing language in the United States of America. How is that possible? How is it that Arabic and Urdu, Pakistan's national language, are the fastest growing foreign languages spoken in the United States of America? How is it even possible that Obama is allowed to do this to us? How is it possible that Barack Hussein Obama is importing more than 250,000 or 280,000 Muslim immigrants a year? How is it possible? Did you know that 91.4% of recent refugees from the Middle East are on food stamps? They're deadbeats. Did you know that? Oh, I know that's embarrassing. I know that will shock the ACLU to even hear that on the airwaves of America. I realize we're not allowed to say what the facts tell us is true. But who will tell it to you if not I? Well, I'll tell it to you over and over again until you realize that in Europe, the same thing is happening. And Le Pen, Marine Le Pen, the outspoken leader of France's National Front, has said that Europe's migrant flood equals the barbarian invasions of the 4th century. Now, I want to tie that to my own planter box in the side of my house. I know you're saying that's a big jump, isn't it? I have a planter box in the side of my house. In the planter box, I have a rhododendron that has been cultivated, it's watered properly, it gets the proper amount of sun, and it's dying anyway. No matter what I do, it's dying. But in this fertile planter box, a weed has appeared. An errant seed has popped into the planter box, and it's being starved, it's let to dry, and yet this weed is growing, it's thriving, it's overtaking the rhododendron. And of course, as a biologist, I studied survival of the fittest from my earliest days. And I have to ask myself, what has happened in the planter box called America? That we are being pushed out of our own planter box by invading weeds. Now, I realize that's a harsh statement. I recognize that will ruffle the feathers of all of those sensitive liberals who can't wait to be thrown off roofs by ISIS. I know it will really unsettle all of those feminists who cannot wait to be thrown down wells by the very people who they embrace. I recognize that. But since they suffer from the mental illness called liberalism, and I am a healthy, sane American male, I'll continue and tell you that this country is dying because the American people have become weak. I want to read you something. It's written by a man named, I never met him. He's with a group called RightPundits.com. His name is Andrew Zarowny, Zarowny. And here's what he writes. And I'm not going to read the name of the author he is writing about. I'll let you figure out who it is. He said, this new book will rock our political world. Blank once again takes on those who intend to rob us of our freedom and our very lives. For years, he has been preaching his message of borders, language, and culture. No borders, no language, no culture. Blank takes us down the dark road being paved by progressives, Marxists, and Islamofascists. Blank pulls no punches, bashing away at Republicans and Democrats alike, even taking on Pope Francis. The treachery and high treason of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, John Boehner, Jeb Bush, and a host of others is fully exposed for all to see. Blank paints a bleak picture, but he offers a solution. In his previous nonfiction work, Blank proposed that the only way to hope to bring an end to the nightmare known as the Obama administration was to elect Republicans. But what did that get us? Not much, if anything. The GOP took back control of the United States Senate, but has failed miserably under Mitch McConnell. Obama is walking all over them. Now we face a world where Iran will soon have a nuclear weapon, where ISIS or ISIL, if you prefer, will run amok through the Middle East, where Europe will be overrun by Muslims, where America will only give refuge to Syrian Muslims and not to Christians whom are being slaughtered.
Obama and his minions are not only just leaving our borders wide open for a torrent of illegal immigrants to pour in from Central and South America, but is now flying in unvetted persons from places ripe with radical Islam. Who knows how many Islamic extremists and terrorists will be brought in at our own expense and peril? Obama has already changed our commitment from just a few thousand Syrian refugees to 200,000. Give Obama an inch and he'll take a mile and a half. Michael Savage lays out his argument as to the existence and nature of Government Zero, all with full references easily fact-checked. Step by step, item by item, Savage details every aspect of the destruction of America's borders, language, and culture. From schoolyards and churches to corporate boardrooms in the Pentagon, the hand of Obama and others are busy doing the devil's work. The rise of radical Islam and the rebirth of Soviet-style Marxism are joined hand in hand, each pounding away at what remains of Western civilization. To say this is a must-read book is putting it mildly. If you care at all about your present life and liberty, and those of the future for your offspring, then Government Zero by Blank is for you. Savage has not lost faith in the American people, but he has with the virtual single-party rule by Republicans and Democrats. The window of hope is closing rapidly, and Michael Savage believes now, more than ever, before that the time has come for a new third party, a nationalist party whose candidates are committed to doing what is right for the legal citizens of the United States, preserving the U.S. Constitution as well as our borders, language, and culture. Left-wing fanatics will jump on this and falsely claim that Savage has gone Nazi. But Michael Savage knows the difference between nationalism and national socialism. He explains this well and turns the tables, as it is the very same critics who are in support of Government Zero as a policy goal. Savage exposes them for who they truly are, traitors, liars, and all-around villains. In the Savage world, there is little space between those who behead Christians and Jews in the name of Allah and those who butcher babies to sell their body parts in the name of science. A nationalist is one who wants only the best for his or her own country. They oppose those who think that playing a second fiddle or caving into unjust demands by other nations and groups who seek to hold the upper hand over us, with our current crop of politicians who seem more interested in their own gains and those of their financial backers, America is ceasing to have a government by the people, of the people, and for the people. On nearly every major issue that has emerged in recent years, from Obamacare to the Iran nuclear deal, the polling data shows that a majority of the people oppose such, yet Obama, Congress, and even the Supreme Court are letting it all slide along. Who needs to be invaded when our own leaders are destroying our nation? So if there is one book to read, Government Zero by Michael Savage is it. But let me tell you something. It lays out the whole dark world that the progressives, Marxists, and radical Islamic jihadis have in store for us. Do you want a nation? Do you want sound borders, language, and culture? Or are you ready to bow and scrape before Government Zero with no borders, no language, and no culture, other than a culture of death and destruction? The clock is ticking, he writes, my fellow Americans. Don't be caught snoozing when the you-know-what hits the fan. And that's a review by RightPundits.com. Donald Trump will be on the show in the next hour. What would you ask him? If you were me, what would you ask Donald Trump? Now, here's some of the headlines that caught my eye. Printed stories, ready to talk about them. New American Century, Arabic is fastest growing language in the USA by Judy Hahn of Breitbart. From Breitbart again, Le Pen, Europe's migrant flood equals barbarian invasions of the fourth century. From Fox News, ISIS touts baby boom as key to caliphate's future. Did you know that's what's going on? Did you know that these 7th century throwbacks are raping their way to a population explosion? Did you know that's what they're doing? The black-clad Nazi vermin are raping their way across the Middle East and procreating with the captured brides. Not one word from the American goddesses of feminism. How to raise a jihadi baby. Key feature of ISIS publications. Sister's role in jihad. There's a picture of an infant in a cradle lying next to a machine gun, next to a pistol and a grenade. And in this country, we have a psychopath in the White House who wants to take away your right to bear arms. Let me tell you something. There was an actor a long time ago who said, you'll have to pry it out of my cold, dead hands. That should be your motto. Never give up your weapon. Never give up your weapon to one of the Nazis in this government. Never! It's the only reason that ISIS will never take over this country. It's because of an armed civilian population. It's the reason they've been able to rampage across Europe, because the French have been disarmed. The British have been disarmed. The people are afraid of them, but they won't be afraid. They won't be afraid much longer. They won't be afraid much longer, because the revolution is brewing in Europe. Unfortunately for them, they have no way to defend themselves other than with their fists and their brains. And that is because the Obamas of Europe have stolen their guns a long time ago, as they have in Australia, by the way. That's another headline. How about another one? Obama's pushing a new trade pact with Asia, some parts of Asia, not including China. He's calling it the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. And what is this devious anti-American leader of America doing this for? Is it good for American business? Well, it's good for some of the scum in business, some of the rats who hate this country and would sell their mother's shoes if they could to get a bigger bottom line. You have no idea what contempt I have for these people. You have no idea what power, what I would do if I had power. You ought to be glad that I'm only on the radio. If you think this is all an act, then I pity you. How can you accept a nation where there are businessmen who would do deals that would further eviscerate our managing our industrial capacity and send jobs to Asia? Why would you do that at a time like this, when employment is in such a bad state, when our economy is still shaky, where the government is printing money to prop up the economy? Why would you sell the country out to Japan, to Thailand and Malaysia and other countries in the Pacific Rim? Why is Obama doing that? Is it to help us? No, it's to help a few of the giant quislings who do business with these countries, who care less about America than Obama does, if you could believe it. Largely Silicon Valley and others, by the way. Guys like Mark Zuckerberg, a man without a country. Despite his billions, in my opinion, he is a man without a country. He has no loyalty to the nation that gave him this fortune. And he epitomizes everything wrong with American business today. I oppose this trade deal. I oppose it not because I oppose free trade, but there is no such thing as free trade with these nations. Don't let them fool you. This is not about free trade. They have tariffs on American goods which will remain in place. The only difference is we, the moronic nation, has let the shyster in the White House trick you into thinking it's free trade, when in fact it is not free trade. It's bent trade. And if you think I'm wrong, then why is it the AFL-CIO opposed this trade deal? How come I, Michael Savage, the vociferous nationalist, the vociferous right-wing talk show host who is so offensive to all of you delicate superior liberals, how is it that my opinion on this trade deal, which is really a traitor's deal, is opposed by the AFL-CIO and your hero, Bernie Sanders, the soapbox orator from New York's Lower East Side? So I'm going to talk about the trade deal today, what's actually in it, and why you must absolutely oppose it. Here's another one. Donald Trump declares war on Obama trade. Time to send the real businessman to the White House to end this. You see the difference between him? Do you understand this? Well, that's the opening to my show. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Survival of the fittest is today's theme, and wherever you look, it's really no different than it was when Darwin first articulated this idea of survival of the fittest. Nothing's really changed, except that in our country, the country itself, the government itself, seems to be targeting the most fit people in America and inhibiting them in every way they can, whether it's a boy on a playground or an athlete on a football field. There seems to be an almost devious madness to inhibit the fittest and to make certain that the weakest thrive while the fittest die off. If that's not suicide, national suicide, please tell me what is. Please tell me what is. When a nation takes its masculine pride and attempts to deball it at every turn by drugging it, by debasing it, by inhibiting it, Tell me how that nation can survive. No nation in history has ever done to itself what this nation is doing to itself right now. There's no one who can disagree with me. No one. If they do, they're mentally insane. When you see article after article telling people who are white to be ashamed of their race by people who claim not to be racist, if that's not insanity, tell me what is. When you see radical, sick feminists attacking boys and saying large muscles is a sign of aggression, tell me if that's not mental illness. Tell me what is going to be required to save this nation from its own self-destruction. This is a nation that is in the deep throes of an illness. It'd be too easy to call it a mental illness, which I've done in 2005 or 6 with liberalism as a mental disorder. I've redefined the illness America is suffering from as an autoimmune disease. America is suffering the equivalent of political AIDS. It is an autoimmune disease where a retrovirus has invaded the country and has encrypted itself into the DNA of the nation, has replicated itself, and is destroying the nation from within. They're called the Democrat Socialist Party. That is the virus that has invaded this country, that is destroying the nation from within. Now, if you want more of it, go vote for the grandma. Go vote for grandma if that's what you want. That's what you're going to get. If you think Biden is the savior, you're sicker than you think you are. You ought to see your psychiatrist. Biden's speech the other day is about homophobia at a time when ISIS is throwing gays off a roof, raping its way across the Middle East, occupying an area larger than Great Britain. That's all this doofus can think of is homophobia, a speech from 1959 in some obscure boys' club. What, is he crazy? That's going to be your savior from Hillary Clinton? I had a little thought about Biden, by the way. You know that he's unelectable. And you know that in your heart of hearts, the only reason that they're warming him up in the bullpen is not for the election. And I can't finish this without risking a great deal. But I had a shocking thought. It's the rogue president has broken free of his handlers. As far as I can go with that, the rogue president has gone so far to the left and so off the reservation that they're warming up Biden in the bullpen.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now.
All right, so we're talking about survival of the fittest, and I made my point from a planter box on the side of my house, how a weak plant is overrun by a strong invading plant. It's straight out biology. I mean, you learn that in the fifth grade. Just plant whatever you want and watch the weeds take over the garden unless you weed the garden. So now we have a government that is inviting the weeds and stamping out not the vintage crop, not stamping out the vintage crop, uprooting the vintage crop of America itself, tearing it out by the roots and throwing it into the garbage heap, not even into the compost heap. Obama is such a mad gardener, to use a very poor analogy, that he's ripping out the native stock as rapidly as he can and replacing with invading species. I realize that this is harsh rhetoric. I realize it offends the sensibilities of the refined types in America who don't want to think of such things. But I can't help it because that's the way I see things. That's how I see things from the point of view of a biologist and point of view of, let's say, a political observer. England has just said no to the EU demands that they take in hundreds of thousands of more young Muslim refugees. Why are so many men being brought in to the European nations? And who are the quislings in the EU who want to flood Europe with young Muslim men? Why are they bringing the armies in? They think they'll spare them at the end? Well, you see, the madness of liberalism has almost no bounds. It's a suicidal cult. At the end of the day, liberalism itself is a religion, and it's a suicidal religion. Everywhere you turn, Jerry Brown signing a euthanasia bill and acting as though it's something wholesome and good for the people. We know what it is. It's a death cult. Jerry Brown is leading a death cult here in the state of California. And typically, progressives always hold up their madness as something progressive. And what do we, the people, do as we watch this going on? In the past, you could sort of ignore it. But now when you see the waves upon waves upon waves of mostly young, virile men coming into Europe. And now you see a president trying to do the same thing to America, and there's nobody stopping him. You have a bunch of old, weak, corrupt drunks on the Republican side. Who's going to stop him? So he figures, why not do what I want to do? That's why that weekend he went from, we'll bring in 10,000 Syrians. Saturday morning it was 100,000. Sunday morning it was 200,000. The man was almost giddy. He was running it up the flagpole, as they used to say many years ago, to see what would happen. And guess what? There was no opposition. The drunk didn't even hear it. He was on a beach chair in Jacksonville. The gobbler didn't hear it. He was busy raising his turkey somewhere in Kentucky. So where is the opposition? Ah, the people, they don't matter. We have no power. When did the people ever have power in a nation? Tell me when the people of a nation ever had power. Stop living in the fantasy world of the colonies. You know what I don't understand is how people can compare a colonial system of the 1700s to today. It's a different universe. Maybe the same principles apply, but the same issues of governance don't apply. It just doesn't work when you have a multi-ethnic society at this point in history and a society of this size in history. So stop hearkening back to Ben Franklin with the key already and the lightning storm. We're not in the fifth grade. Those nonsensical comparisons don't work. They're academic. So let's get down to brass tacks. What are we going to do about it? Survival of the fittest. You know, there was a time in England when they had a Quisling leader who went to right after Germany invaded, I think it was Poland, and he came back and he said, I have in my hand the Anglo-German naval agreement, and these countries shall never go to war again. Hip, hip, hooray! The next day, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia. The day after that, they threw him out. His own party voted to throw him out of business. They got rid of him because they realized he was a suicidal laborite who was going to destroy England. They needed a war leader. Remember the Godfather movie? Tom, you're out. You're not a wartime consigliere. Do you people not understand that sometimes art imitates life and it teaches us lessons? Tom Hagen, what did I do wrong, Mike? Sorry, Tom, you're out. You're not a wartime consigliere. It's the same thing in America. He wasn't in England at that time. Neville Chamberlain was not a wartime consigliere. Russia, Germany was on the move. Hitler was invading. Hitler had built up his military, even though they said you couldn't. And this weakling, this good-natured weakling, the pacifist, socialist, intellectual, came back with an agreement that he couldn't wipe his nose with, as far as Hitler was concerned. And so his own party moved to get rid of him. They got rid of him. They threw him out. They voted him out. That's the benefit of a parliamentary system. We don't have such a system here. But something went off in me this morning as I was walking and looking at the birds diving for their daily bread and thinking about the plants in my planter box. Something in me said that somewhere deep within the controlling elements of this government, those who actually run things, and God only knows who they are, I can probably give you a short list of those who I think are really running the thing. I'm not sure who they are, but even they at a certain point recognize that a nation can be destroyed from within, and they've gone too far by putting this maniac in the White House. And the maniac is now so broken free of their controls, just as others have done in history, who were first put in power by more powerful people, and then they went rogue on them. It happened, by the way, in Germany. It's not a direct comparison. But if you remember the history of Hitler, if you read him at all, he didn't come to power on his own or in a vacuum. Very powerful industrialists backed him in the beginning. The Krupps, for example, who had been bankrupted after World War I. They were the main armaments manufacturer. They backed Hitler because they knew he'd be good for business. Eisenhower said, beware the government, the military-industrial complex, right? So you have the same elements here in America. There are certain people who wanted Obama. They figured they could always control him. And now he's gotten so crazy, he's gone off the reservation. Now, there's a paragraph or two that should be inserted here, but I can't do it. So I'll now jump to paragraph 4 in this thought process. And Joe Biden's being warmed up in the bullpen. Now I'll go to paragraph 7. I'll skip another paragraph. And it's not for the election in 2016. Now the question is, can his own party remove him now that he's gone rogue? Because he's going crazier by the day. He's gone way beyond anything he ever hoped he would ever achieve. Everyone has a list of dreams they have. This guy has so gone beyond everything he ever thought he could get away with that he's continuing down the path of such national destruction that it's now bordering on national suicide, that even his own party sees that, probably within the Hillary camp. Because as much as I detest most of her policies, I've got to tell you something. She is actually more of a centrist than Obama is. Don't get me wrong, I'm not supporting her. I would never vote for her. Any Republican would be better than Hillary Clinton, except Rubio. I put an X through him. I would not vote for him. He's nothing but a shill. He's a shill for Larry Ellison and Silicon Valley. He's in favor of the massive influx of immigrants without any controls. And Rubio is a disaster, a walking and total talking disaster. Other than him, any Republican would be better. But I'm not saying I'm supporting Hillary Clinton. Of course, you can jump to that if you want. It doesn't matter to me what you want to jump to. But I think even within the Hillary camp, there are rational billionaires who recognize that the nation is being destroyed from within. And there's only so far that you can push people until they snap. You get it? And so that's sort of monologue number two of the Savage Nation. Today's show is entitled Survival of the Fittest. Really based upon the rhododendron and the weed in my planter box next to my house. Yes, and it's the end of the tomato season. Interestingly enough, on the other side of my house, I have a little tomato garden, again in a large planter area next to a little lawn area. And the tomatoes are planted in March. They usually produce until August. Here we are in October, and there's still a few tomatoes coming up. Must be that pesky global warming, which, of course, teaches you everything you need to know that they don't seem to know, which is that without global warming, you'd be eating mud. You'd be licking ice right now. And that global warming has actually been beneficial to humankind. It's permitted agriculture to expand. And frankly, it's permitted the human race to expand. It's actually been very beneficial to global warming. That is the melting of the ice that's been going on for about, at least since the Little Ice Age. It's only 500 years. But Gore didn't read about the Little Ice Age. Long before the first car was ever produced, before the factory started belching smoke in England, the ice had started to retreat in a great natural cycle, which is not to argue for pollution, but it's to argue against insanity and stupidity and the grifters in the fake science world. So now we go to the callers on the Savage Nation on all these topics. I brought up five, six different topics. I've said something quite controversial, that the Democrats may be planning to, let us say, gently move Obama aside and bring in Biden before his term is up. Do you think that's even possible? Is it even possible? I mean, I'm taking a big chance in suggesting it. Do you think it's totally irrational? It was done through the legislative process in England when Neville Chamberlain was seen as such a dangerous man for the survival of England that his own party got rid of him. So why can't the Democrats move in some way to get rid of this rogue president? Why? Why couldn't they do it? I'm asking a very controversial question. It's an almost off-the-grid question. But, hey, I think that thinking is still legal in America, isn't it? The last I checked, you're allowed to think. I know the thought police are everywhere. But since I don't have one in the studio right now except a sleeping poodle, I'll ask the question. Is that a possibility? Yes or no? No one even understands what I just asked because they haven't heard it yet. You see, this is the horrible thing about radio. This is the limitation of being a free thinker. That unless the audience has heard it before and thought about it and chewed on it, and read it on 15 different websites, and then they could spit out what they read. They're not even going to call on a novel question. They don't even know what you're saying to them. And so it brings us back to the issue of you can only be so far ahead of the pack until the pack doesn't even know what you're talking about. And I hope I haven't reached that point with my audience. The ratings that came in yesterday from TalkStream Live indicate that the show is bigger than ever. A 25.6 share of the audience in talk radio. The next in line is Rush with a 13.7 or something share. I don't have the numbers in front of me. And my lead is expanded on devices, means the audience, the younger audience loves me. The younger audience is turning to me. The younger audience wants to hear me. Why? If I'm such a bad guy, if my message is so shocking and abrasive and so out of tune with the realities of today, why are so many people rushing to listen to Michael Savage? Why are they buying my books? Why did they buy Stop the Coming Civil War? Why are they rushing on Amazon and buying Government Zero, sending it off the charts before it even comes out? Why? because they understand that the message is not so crazy. They also look around. They don't know the country they're living in anymore. They don't even hear English being spoken in most cities. They realize they're being elbowed out of the way in their own cities. They see the good guys, the cops, being vilified by the most evil administration that you could ever imagine. And the thugs are being invited into Yale University. Can you imagine that Yale University would invite street thugs to teach a course, an anti-police course? Here's a few other facts that are kind of rattling around in my thinking cap today. Remember the agitator, Al Sharpton? Do you remember he was one of the principal architects of the riots? Going all the way back to New York's Freddy's Fashion Mart, where he egged on a crowd to burn down a building, according to all estimates. Do you remember how he was vilified for the fake Tawana Brawley case, where he got a black lady to say she was raped and feces smeared on her by a detective, and it turned out to be a big lie by Al Sharpton? And do you remember what happened to him as a result of that? He was hired by NBC. He was invited into the White House over 100 times by this illegitimate administration. He selected our current Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, and he agitated so much so that Ferguson almost burned and Baltimore almost burned. Police have been shot in an epidemic across America because of Al Sharpton, in my estimation, Eric Holder, Barack Obama, and their anti-police rhetoric. It's been open season on the police, mainly white police by young black males. Ooh! I didn't sound like the newspaper, did I? Where they say the assailant and they don't describe him. They say the victim, they don't describe her. Never. No description. Be on the lookout for nobody. It's a male. What does he look like? We don't know. I just gave you some demographics. There's a war against white police being conducted by young black males that's been sparked by Al Sharpton, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and others, in the opinions of millions of people who still have brains. Now, there's more to the story here. After Al Sharpton was used successfully by this band of radical maniacs to do this, what happened recently? They took the street thug Al Sharpton off MSNBC. They canceled his regular show. And then what happened? Notice he's not seen or heard anymore? They dummied him up? Why have they shelved this radical, the street radical? Why have they taken him off the airwaves, and why they put the dummy away? Why they put him back in the closet? I'll let you figure it out. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Through almost an hour of the show, I mean, Donald Trump will be on in the next hour. And then there's an hour after that to talk about things, including that. But I raised an issue here, survival of the fittest, and I talked about how the country is being destroyed from within. You think you know all of it, but you don't know all of it. You don't even know the half of it. And then I raised the controversial idea, which is that Obama has so gone off the reservation that the Democrat power structure that put him in power is so freaked out that they're warming up Biden in the bullpen, not for the 2016 run, because they know he would lose to virtually any Republican. Biden is a nonentity, a nobody. They know that. He's not popular. No matter what machine they put behind him, he'd fall apart on the campaign trail. They want to just put him in power in order to have him do what they want, because Obama is no longer controllable. It's an idea. Makes for a fiction book, I suppose. And I don't know what parliamentary or executive maneuvers they could use, legal maneuvers, that is, to remove him from office. I have no idea what the mechanics might be for that, if there are any. Whether they can declare he's insane and get three psychiatrists to declare he's a psychotic and have to remove him, that's not going to happen. So how would they remove him legally? How could that even happen? I don't know. It would take a novelist, someone who wrote Abuse of Power, A Time for War, and Countdown to Mecca to figure that one out. But he's not writing anymore. No more fiction. So I don't know who to call. I'll call you, the listener of the show. Maybe you have an idea. Any ideas? Democratically, how to remove a president who's gone rogue.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have breaking news for you on The Savage Nation. It just came out. It's on Fox News. How many years have I been telling you the United Nations is largely a slush fund for corrupt officials? How many years have I warned you it's nothing but a scam? Ex-UN General Assembly leader just arrested, accused of pocketing $500,000 in bribes. President of the United Nations General Assembly said, corruption has no place there. After prosecutors accused one of his predecessors of accepting more than $500,000 in bribes from Chinese businesses. Former UNGA President John Ash used some bribe money to fly his family to New Orleans, where the family stayed in an $850 a night hotel room, according to court documents filed in New York City today. Prosecutors said other money was used to lease a luxury car, pay the UN leader's home mortgage, buy him Rolex watches and custom suits, and construct a $30,000 basketball court at his home in Dobbs Ferry, New York, where he was arrested Tuesday. The great UN official opened two bank accounts to receive the funds and then underreported his income by more than 1.2 mil, officials said. So the bottom line is, this guy Ash, a former UN ambassador from Antigua and Barbuda. Where's Barbuda? I know where Antigua is. I never heard of Barbuda. I know the Barbados. I know Bermuda. Maybe there's an island I never heard of Barbuda. Never. Anyway, this corrupt goon comes from Antigua and Barbuda. And he served as the head of the 193 Nation Assembly from September 2013 to September 2014. He now faces tax fraud charges in what authorities call a conspiracy with five others, including Francis Lorenzo, a deputy UN ambassador from the Dominican Republic who lives in the Bronx. Charges were brought by U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara. And as you well know, Preet Bharara takes no prisoners. Preet Bharara said today, I wouldn't be surprised if we see other people charged. Well, that's the story. The UN should be taken out of the United States of America. It's a slush fund, largely for corrupt officials. It's where the false science of global warming is being disseminated, largely by, again, corrupt officials who are trying to create that into a bigger slush fund, and on and on. Hour two of the Savage Nation. At the bottom of the hour, we have Donald Trump. We're going to talk about trade. Donald will talk about trade, the trade deal Obama is trying to scam us with, basically selling us down the river now to Japan, Malaysia, Thailand, and other nations for reasons you can well understand. You talk about corruption in the General Assembly. How about corruption in the White House? How much more corrupt can it get than he does a deal that's good for them and bad for us? It's so bad for us that even the AFL-CIO agrees with my position. Even Bernie Sanders, the commie, agrees with my position. This is not free trade. Not at all. Talk about Putin, we'll talk about ISIS with Donald Trump. Again, I want to remind you to go to michaelsavage.com. I'm speaking like weird today. I am gumbling. I'm jumbling words together. My thoughts are coming so fast. It's a strange one. You know, it's coming so fast that it's hard for me to keep up with my own thoughts. I don't know why. There's so much going on. It's just hard to deal with it lately. My ratings came out yesterday on streaming. I have the highest I've ever had, 26 share. Rush has a 14 share. That's a big deal. And it's a big deal for a number of reasons. Let's go to the callers. I raised a controversial question in the last hour. And the question was, could the Democrat Party itself remove Barack Obama because he has gone off the reservation, he's gone so far to the left that he threatens not only the nation, which they don't care about, but the chances for their own party. I mean, let me make it very clear. They could care less about the United States of America, all of them. It's a pack of anti-Americans from the top to the bottom. But they're worried about the next election, and they feel that Obama's leftward moves are so radical that Hillary's finished, and that virtually any Republican could beat her. And they're afraid that it'll keep lurching to the left even further. So I say, is it possible they could do to him legislatively what was done to Neville Chamberlain by his own Labour Party in England when he had gone so far to the left in pacifism that the nation of England was threatened by his political moves. What do you think? Could they do it? On what basis could they do it? WMAL, John, is there a mechanism by which Obama could be removed other than impeachment?
Oh, yeah. It's called the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, Section 4, I think it is. When the vice president and majority of the cabinet determine that the president is unfit, they vote, transmit the message to the leaders of the two houses of Congress, and the president's out.
All right, but how is a hand-picked cabinet, hand-picked by Obama, ever going to do that?
The same way they do everything. Biden buys them off. He promises them more. And then, of course...
In other words, so the corrupt cabinet officials, the functionaries, the apparatchiks of the Democrat Socialist Party, they just get bought off for a larger bribe.
Yeah, they don't care about Obama. They don't care about America, that's for sure. They care about themselves.
You know what's interesting? They just dumped the education secretary last week, Arnie Duncan. I wonder what that's about. Do you think he must have stood up to Obama about something?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It is beyond Byzantine. It is insane.
But have you ever seen a country as corrupt as this one is right now? I mean, serious. I'm being absolutely dead on serious. I'm as serious as... let us say smallpox, when I ask that question. Have you ever seen such generic... I'm talking about corruption that runs across every aspect of this government. Corruption and incompetence. And it's more evident now than ever, even to the average, let us say, low-thinking dolt. Here's Obama for a year making believe he's been fighting ISIS. Putin starts bombing them a week ago, and they're on the run. If that doesn't show us that even the military has been hamstrung by him, what needs to happen next, I don't know.
Well... not time for talking about it on the radio, but I used to work for the Department of Defense, both in uniform and out. And
and I'm going to send you a free copy of a book called Government Government Zero. Oh, yes, indeedy. What a world we're living in. Tom on WJR, will the Dems ever consider removing a rogue president like this? Go ahead, please.
Not a chance. We know that. I mean, the last thing they're going to want to do would be to take out that black president and take a chance of alienating themselves from all of their black sheeple or the minority sheeple. I'm going to be careful, not just black minorities. They would never do it. They know if they could do anything, they would maybe try to make it so bad that the Republicans would do it and make that look like the bad guys. But they're never going to do that themselves. Not a chance.
Are you sure? Are you sure that even you sure that even within the Democrat Party there are insane individuals who see what he's doing? Well, I'll tell you why I even asked this question. I know it would have been ludicrous to ask it a week ago, but two things have happened in the last week that indicate that this could happen, that they could remove him. One is his apparent failure, his overt failure with in Syria has been so naked that even the average moron sees how impotent he is and what a liar he is. He has not been fighting ISIS, and everyone sees that. That's number one. But more than that, something else happened. What else happened that has indicated Barack Obama has literally come loose from the screws that keep him connected to the earth of reality? What else happened? Tell me something big happened other than that, the ISIS thing. Something else happened. He's trying to push a trade deal with the so-called Trans-Pacific nations that even his base in the AFL-CIO oppose. Why would he do that? Why would he alienate all of these union workers and voters? Why? Who is he answering to? Who is pushing him on this? If his left-wing base is opposed to it, who is he answering to? It has to be foreign powers. It's like the corrupt UN official. Something doesn't add up. Somebody is pulling the strings of the rogue president, and it's not the far left. It's even more sinister than that. It goes beyond the far left. Is that irrational or not?
No, I think you're right on target. But most people don't seem to realize how much bigger this is than just here in our own country. I mean, they're...
All right, so let's go back to the story I just read, the breaking news. corrupt UN chief takes a $500,000 bribe from China to do their bidding, and he buys cheap garbage items with it. A basketball court, a Rolex watch, a suit, a vacation. I mean, it's as cheap as you get. What you'd expect from the UN. Okay, how do we know that China is not in some way bribing the presidency itself? How do we not know that? I mean, how can we know that? Why would he do a deal like this? On whose behalf would he do a deal like this? When even the AFL-CIO opposed it. I'm asking a question. I don't have an answer to it.
I don't see where he's...
I don't have an answer. All I know is this. This so-called free trade deal is such a sellout of the American worker. It is such a boost for the Asian economy at our expense. And this is after what Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton did to us. By the way, when we say Bill Clinton now, please don't say Bill Clinton, say the Clintons. She was a co-president when he gave us NAFTA, when he gave us GATT, when he sold us down the river. And I remember it very well. I was on the radio in the 90s. China was buying up entire manufacturing plants in the Midwest and transporting them down to the last lathe on the factory floor to build up their new nation. And they never should have been allowed to do that. But Bill Clinton let them do it. Was it just Bill Clinton or was Hillary involved? Believe me, he was doing more than playing with Monica Lewinsky. And she was doing more than looking the other way. They, the ones who did the deal with China, letting them do that. Sandy Berger was involved at that time. Sox Berger, the one who smuggled state secrets out in his underwear. Now a big lobbyist for who? China. Madeleine Albright, that halfwit. What is she doing now? Last I checked, she was a big lobbyist for China. You didn't know any of this. See, some of us actually remember the news and put two and two together. All right, I'm overwhelming you. I get it. Many of you said, I can't take it. The guy knows what he's talking about. There's only so much I can take. He's firing at me like a machine gun. I can't take it anymore. Back off, Mike. See, that's the feedback mechanism I have that makes me great in radio. So I'm going to back off, Mike. I'm going to go soft now. I'm not going to talk about meatballs exactly. I'm not going to do lifestyle questions exactly. I'm not going to tell you my dog Teddy is sleeping next to me exactly. I'm going to go a little lighter now. I'm going to back off. We're going to go into like Beethoven. Even Beethoven, after he brings you up to a certain point, in the next piece, he has to now bring it down, doesn't he? Because you'd go deaf. You'd get a heart attack if you listen to him keep going up and up and up and up and up and up and up. Then eventually he has to go quiet down. So I'm going to give you a new part of the symphony when I come back. But the main question is, do you think it's possible the Democrats realize the rogue president is so crazy now and has lurched so far to the left, both in his inability or unwillingness to fight ISIS and in his sellout to Asia, that they're going to try to remove him from office in some way? And then we have Donald Trump on at the bottom of the hour. And if that's not enough of a show for you, I suggest you go listen to baseball. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Hot Talk 560 KSMO.
It is a nightmare out there. Welcome to the show. It's a nightmare. When you see that Obama's trying to force through an Asian trade deal that even the AFL-CIO and the crazy crackpot left-wing lunatic Bernie Sanders oppose, which I oppose for obvious reasons because it's not free trade at all. It's a sellout to these Asian nations. This is pure corruption. There's been payoffs up and down the line. And when you see a thing like this and you see that Obama is impotent with regard to ISIS or lying about it, suddenly Putin moves in saying enough is enough. They're threatening not only Syria, but then Russia and then Europe. I'm taking control. And in a week, he sends them on the run. So he's been shown for what he is now to all thinking people in the entire Western world, right in front of our eyes. Now, so the Democrats thinking only of 2016 so they can hold on to the grift that they've been stealing all these years under Obama. They don't want to let go of it. They've had it pretty good now. They've had 8 good years of stealing and robbing from the Treasury, bankrupting the country as fast as they can. Why would they want to let go of such a sweet deal as that? So they want to put a Democrat in the office. But they see that Obama is so dangerously, has so dangerously moved to the far left that they have to figure a way to put in the stooge Biden, who will be sort of Uncle Joe, centrist, not as frightening, won't come after your guns right away. You know, just kind of a gaffy old, silly old uncle. Would the Democrats seek to remove the president in some way? Now, I don't know the mechanism. They're not going to declare him unfit for office because they would, as we just said in the 25th Amendment, it would require a statement that he's unfit for office. Now, who's going to declare him unfit for office? How is that ever going to happen? So by what means could they put Biden in it? See, what I'm saying is there's something wrong with the picture. For them to get this guy Biden up out of nowhere, he's a nobody to begin with. He always was a stooge. And in his latter years, he became even more of a laugh line. So why are they suddenly floating him? Because they know Hillary, Hillary's in trouble for sure, but that's not the reason. That's what I'm getting at. They're not floating Biden for 2016. I had an intuitive feeling that they're floating Biden to replace Obama during Obama's remainder of his term. That's what I said. Is that even possible? I mean, I realize it's a radical idea, but either we're talking or we're not talking. Either we can express thoughts or we can't express thoughts. That's all. I'm just asking a question here. Just asking. Could they do it? Would they do it? Because Obama's made it bad for the re-election for Hillary. They're afraid that he's so far to the left that what he wants to do is even so farther to the left that she has no chance in 2016. Even if she got the nomination, which likely she will, they figure that, hey, forget about it. This guy is moving this country in such a direction that even the average moron out there, the idiots who elected Obama, even the moron white guy, the idiot who knows nothing, the guy who has a ratchet set in his brain. You know, the guy, all he hears in his head is the sound of hex nuts coming off a tire. He doesn't think. Music to his ear is a hex nut coming off a wheel. They're saying even he might come to understand that Obama's dangerous and vote for a Republican. See? So, is that a possibility? Tire shop. I told you I'd slow it down, did I? Donald Trump, when I return right here on the Savage Nation, to talk about the so-called trade deal, Putin and ISIS. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Line 10, welcome to the Savage Nation. Donald, are you there?
I'm with you, Michael. I'm always with you. I'm always with you, actually.
Well, I didn't know it for a while. I was hammering your staff. Where is he? Why won't he come on? What are the advisors saying? We have three topics, but a new one just popped up. Donald, on the trade deal with Asia, I know where you stand. This is not free trade. Even the AFL-CIO Bernie Crackpot Sanders opposes it. Tell the audience, please, why you oppose the trade deal Obama's trying to force down our throats.
Well, first of all, it's countries that are going to allow China to come through the back door. You know, they're going to get the biggest piece of it. You watch, as they always do. We're losing almost $400 billion a year with China. But almost as important, it's all manipulation. We don't do anything about currency manipulation. We don't know how they're manipulating. The single biggest threat we have is currency manipulation that these countries, and in particular Japan and now China and others, not only now China, now China for years, what they've been doing to us, Michael, with trade manipulation, with monetary manipulation, is incredible on trade. So what they do is they make it impossible for our companies to compete, and all it is going to do is take out jobs. And the reason it's going past, and the reason you have some people supporting it on both Democrat and Republican side, is because the lobbyists and the special interests are pushing them hard for certain companies that are big beneficiaries of this. But the country is a loser, and it means jobs are going out of the United States as usual.
I read the deal in detail, the best I could do it, Mr. Trump, and I find that small mom-and-pop car part dealers, clothing manufacturers in the U.S. will probably go out of business from foreign-made goods, which will flood into the United States. How can Obama get away with this when even the AFL-CIO opposes it? How is that possible?
Well, the lobbyists representing the companies that want this to happen have contributed to Obama. But these are all lobbyists and special interests. And frankly, they probably represent the countries involved, the 11 countries. But they also represent companies that want this to happen because it's good for them but bad for our country. And essentially what it does is it takes jobs out of our country, and as usual, it takes money out of our country. And watch what happens. China is going to come through the back door, and they're going to become a part of it later on at an even better deal.
How can the Democrats, but Donald, how can the Democrats push a trade deal like this after the devastation that NAFTA has wrought and the exportation? I'd have to tell you, you know better than I do what it's done to our indigenous industrial base and our workers. How can they do this again when they know that even the unions oppose them? Are they going to be able to get around the unions?
Well, NAFTA has been a complete and total disaster, and this one is going to be probably, I don't know necessarily, much smaller. This is going to be another disaster for the country. You know, what it really does, it's sucking the money out of us, and it's sucking our jobs away, and it's sucking our base. Our manufacturing is going to become non-existent. I mean, these deals are just made for the special interests, made for the lobbyists. The lobbyyists are making a fortune, and they're taking our, they're taking everything. They're just stripping our country.
Donald, here's another huge issue. Last night, the very nice neurosurgeon, Ben Carson, seems to be channeling some lunatics when he said, I think he's channeling John Bolton, the guy who looks like a walrus, when he said that U.S. should not allow Russian jets to bomb in Syria, and he wants dogfights in Syria between United States Air Force jets and Russians. What's happening with Carson? Is he going crazy?
No, it's you know, the whole thing is over there is, first of all, we're backing rebels. You know, they talk about the Free Syrian rebels. Nobody knows who they are. Here we go again. You know, we backed rebels going into all sorts of places. We were backing a government that turned out to be a fictitious government in Iraq. Look what happened to Iraq. You look at Gaddafi, what happened over there with Libya. I mean, Libya, we backed rebels. You know what the rebels did to the ambassador and to the other people. Okay, these are the rebels we backed. Now, again, we're backing rebels. And as far as I'm concerned, if Russia wants to start getting into the quagmire, you know, we're in there for $4 trillion in the Middle East over the last number of years. We spent $2 trillion in Iraq alone. What do we have for it? We have nothing. You know what's going to happen with Iraq, Michael, is that Iran, right now as we speak, is trying to take over Iraq. They're taking it over with the oil reserves, the biggest in the world, among the biggest in the world. It's unbelievable. So if Russia...
thanks to Obama, they'll be able to do the new Persia. I mean, the ancient Persia was incorporating the land called Iraq, as you well know. And with a little help from John Kerry and Obama, we'll see Persia emerge. How about Vladimir Putin? I happen to support him. He's the only one taking on ISIS. He's the only one who's degraded them in a week while Obama has lied for a year now about taking them on. Do you support or oppose Russia's bombing campaign against ISIS?
Well, it's not a question of supporting. I think it's wonderful that Russia is, and by the way, as of today, they're really hitting ISIS hard. And you know why? Because Russia doesn't want ISIS going into Russia. It's very simple, okay?
Right.
And they were saying,
right,
oh, he's hitting other people. He's hitting rebels that we're friendly with. I spoke to a general 3 days ago. He doesn't even know who these rebels are. We don't even know who these rebels are. They could be ISIS. They could be worse than anybody that we have. They could be worse than Assad. So, no, I'm surprised when I hear people talking like, oh, gee, isn't it terrible? They want us to start World War III in Syria. You know that.
I do know that. They're not thinking carefully. Have you met Vladimir Putin?
Yes.
You have?
One time, yes, long time ago.
Do you feel...
Along with a break, by the way.
I'm saying if you do win the presidency, and I certainly hope you do you feel that you could do business with Vladimir?
Yes, I do. And that's what I do. You know, deals are people. Deals aren't deals. Deals are people. Yes, I think I would get along very well. I had the big Miss Universe pageant in, believe it or not, in Moscow 2 years ago. I got to know so many of the Russian leaders and the top people in Russia. I mean, honestly, these are people. They're looking to do things. And, you know, Putin cannot stand Obama, hates him, and doesn't respect him. And that's not off to a great start. But how about this? He leaves Obama a couple of days ago. The following day later, he starts bombing, and nobody knew it was going to happen, right? That shows a total lack of respect. With that being said, if he wants to bomb ISIS, congratulations. Welcome to it. Let's save a little money and fix up our roads and fix up our bridges and tunnels and schools and airports. You know, we're in there for, okay, $4 trillion between everything for the last number of years. $4 trillion. We've got to fix up our country. And we owe $1 trillion, by the way. You know who gets the oil, most of the oil out of Iraq, by the way? You know who takes it, right? You know who the...
China. China does.
Yeah, China. China gets the oil. You know how much they've invested in the war? Zero.
Zero. Now, speaking of China, I read that China's sending in special forces to take on ISIS as well in an Israeli publication, Debka, a week ago, because the Chinese want to take out the Uyghur Muslims who are fighting alongside ISIS. They don't want them coming back and causing trouble in China. Do you care to comment on that, that China is actually working with Russia to overthrow ISIS?
I know China very well, and, Michael, they'll only do it if they're going to get the oil. Remember I said... Don't leave the oil. If you're going to leave, take the oil. Remember I said, you know who has the oil now? I mean, I will tell you, ISIS has oil. Everybody has oil. Everybody but us. We spend $2 trillion. We have nothing. But China will only do that if they get the oil. In other words, if China is going in, they're going in for money. They, everything they do is about money. China will go in if they're going to take the oil.
So it's all about, obviously, economic advancement, as most war is, by the way, about economics. So why is it that every war we are going under Obama, we lose? You talk about economics, trade wars, we lose, shooting wars, we lose. What is this man doing?
Hey, Michael, do you know that in Afghanistan, nobody knew this, very rich in minerals. So while we're fighting in Afghanistan, very mountainous area, on one side of the mountain, China has massive excavators on the other side, and they're taking out all the minerals, and they're not doing any fighting at all. They're taking out all the minerals. I mean, you tell me what is going on. So, look, all of this can be changed so fast, Michael. You would be so happy. If I win this thing, you will be so proud of this country, Michael. I tell you what.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Donald, on a personal level, you already make me hopeful. You already make me more proud to be an American. And you've given me something personal that you don't even know. I've worked very hard as an immigrant son to achieve what I have. And as you know, my family has worked very hard. They've achieved a lot. But we've had to hide it under the Democrat socialist machine. We've almost had to apologize for having succeeded, for working so hard. I feel proud of what I've achieved because of you, Donald, because you're willing to stand up and say you're proud of what you've achieved. You make me willing to stand up and say that. Do you know that you've had a positive effect already?
Well, that's very nice for you to say that, and you've done an amazing job. And I look at your ratings, and I look at you, just you. And, you know, you've been a special guy. You've been amazing, and you've been really nice to me, and I appreciate it. But, you know, I get crowds. We had in Dallas, Texas, in the American Airlines Center, Mark Cuban's place where the Mavericks play, 20,000 people. In Mobile, Alabama, we had 35,000 people. And, I mean, we filled it up in like 3-4 days. You know, we didn't have like 2 months to fill it up. We had days. I'm going to Las Vegas. That's going to be packed. Every place I go to, I was in Oklahoma last week on Friday, and we had 20,000 people surrounding the band shell. It was a park. The park was packed. They couldn't even get the people in the park, so they put them on the other side of the band shell. They couldn't even see. There's something going on. People are tired of being ripped off by stupid politicians that don't know what they're doing. So,
one last point. I know how busy your schedule is. You may not even know this, but I only found this out a week ago. Do you know that you and I don't know whether the publishers have done it on purpose. They have your book coming out on October 27th, which is the exact pub date of my book, Government Zero. We're going to have dueling books, Donald, which are saying basically the same thing. Did you know the publishers have done that?
Oh, I didn't know it, but I actually saw a note from you, and I think probably mine's going to be a little bit later than yours, maybe. I hope so. But it might be a little bit later than yours. But mine is just about ready to go, I'd say, over the next... And basically, I'm talking about how to make America great again, you know, which is similar to what probably you're saying. You know, there's not that many ways. In other words, it's not that complicated. It's common sense. It's being smart. It's understanding. It's respect. It's leadership. And we can make this country truly great again. But if it keeps going this way, we're not going to be able to. It's going to be too late.
Donald, we need good people. You said it yourself. You need smart people in every government position in order to save the country. You said you'd bring in one of the great negotiators. I loved hearing that because they'd finally make China pay their fair share. But, you know, we have such corruption right now in science itself that there's virtually almost no real, honest science anymore. And the best evidence I have for that is the fake global warming research. Almost every study comes out that's warped. It's all corrupt. Again, Donald, I'm going to put it out because I keep saying it because people are hearing it. When you become president, I want you to consider appointing me to the head of the NIH. I will make sure that America has real science and real medicine again in this country because I know the corruption, I know how to clean it up, and I know how to make real research work again.
I think that's great, and I think that, frankly...
No, I would leave radio for that. Donald, I would take a cut in pay that would be astronomical, but I would do it for this country. You could pay me $1 a year, and I would do it, just to make sure we have real science and medicine.
Well, you know, you'd get common sense if that were the case, that I can tell you, because I hear so much about the NIH, and it's terrible.
Beyond belief. Donald, I wish you great luck. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that I see you before Christmas at Mar-a-Lago.
Very good. I hope so, Michael. And keep up the good work, and I will see you, and we will keep fighting, and we will get this done. We will get it done.
Thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation. Well, you heard it from the man himself, Donald Trump. If you get a comment, the phone number is 855-47282. I don't mince words. I generally do not support candidates. I really have rarely ever supported a candidate in my 21 years on radio. I've avoided it. I am openly supporting Donald Trump for two reasons. One, I believe he can win. Two, I believe he can save America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
Oh,
Donald Trump is a native son. Do you understand that? I mean, think very carefully. The left has so poisoned you about successful people that your immediate instinct is you don't trust people who are successful. You assume they're all crooks. But what I found in my life is that most successful people are the most honest people I ever met. And I'm speaking from real experience. I know a few billionaires. They've never taken a nickel from anyone. They've created massive amounts of jobs and opportunities for others. And I think that goes for Donald Trump. And I'll say something else. I don't know him that well. I've met him a few times. I told you in Florida. He's always been very respectful. And the few interchanges I've had have told me what kind of man he is. And I can pretty much tell you that we all judge people in a nanosecond. We pretty much do at a certain stage of our life. We make decisions pretty quickly. I have a neuropsychiatric friend who tells me we look at somebody eye to eye, and within nanoseconds, we make a decision about them based upon millions of pieces of data that come into our brain. But putting that aside, here's a question for you, the audience. Did you hear something new from Donald Trump during the interview that is not just the same old, same old? Many people say, Trump was on Savage, big deal. They talked about trade, ISIS, and Putin, but nothing new. Wrong. You're wrong. There was a lot new in that interview, if you listen very carefully. But you have to really listen carefully to what went on. Now, first of all, he and I have a chemistry, which you can tell. It's a strange phenomenon, but we grew up, I would say, within earshot of each other in Queens, New York. But I was on the other side of the tracks. He lived in the rich guy section on the other side of Union Turnpike in Jamaica States, which had beautiful homes. And I lived in the attached row houses on the other side of Union Turnpike. Nothing wrong with it. They were clean. They were immaculate. Everyone took care of their gardens. It was as clean as you can imagine. And I would say that we speak the same language. We think very, very similarly. He went to private schools. I went to public schools. But you can hear when he and I talk that there's something of a mutual understanding. And I would say, even if I can take that leap, I think there's a mutual respect between the two of us. And I think that that's very important for you to understand, because I'm not ashamed to tell you I come from an immigrant family. He doesn't. I came from an immigrant family, and he's proud of the fact, I'm sure he is, he knows what I've achieved. He also knows what my family has achieved through brains and hard work. And we don't quit, we don't give up. And what I'm saying to you is that could be you too. That could be the new America all over again, where there is opportunity for people in this country. Instead of being ashamed of working hard, instead of being ashamed of achieving success, maybe you could be proud of it again. Anyway, those are some of my thoughts. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-417-282. Maybe you didn't know this, but on October 27th, which is only a few weeks from now, my book, Government Zero, will hit the bookstores, and my publisher has bought all of the front-of-store bookshelves, meaning you're going to see that book whether you want to see it or not. Now, Donald's book is scheduled to come out, I thought, the same day. Now I learned today it's been pushed a week, maybe. Maybe they realize it's not a good idea. Maybe it wasn't on purpose.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Savage.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is our number three of The Savage Nation. Now, I'm not going to coast on the coattails of the Trump interview, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Couple of reasons. One, because I thought it was the best of the three or four interviews that he has granted me. And I will say grant me. Let me tell you something. Although he is everywhere, if you think it's easy to get him on your show, guess again. Not easy to get him on his show. On your show. That's number one. And number two, I had to work pretty hard to get him this time because he hired a new set of advisors. They probably told him to steer clear of me. I don't know what they told him. And I know this. I know that he reads every one of his emails because he even alluded to it. He said, I saw your emails. Remember that? When I know how to reach him through emails. He reads his emails and he generally responds to his emails, which is more than I could say for virtually any Republican I have ever encountered or try to encounter in my entire life in radio. I don't even apply this to the Democrats because they're untouchable. They are like the Frank Nitti character in The Untouchables. They are the Untouchables because they run a criminal enterprise and no one can ever reach them, period, end of story. So having said that, I mean, Donald and I talked about three topics and we did break new ground. And I'm going to ask you, if you listen to the interview, did you hear something that you haven't heard on Fox News or on MSNBC or in any of his speeches? Because I did. Many people say, hey, he just gave another interview. We've heard it, you know, same old. It wasn't. What did you hear between Donald and I that was unique and original to this show? I'll ask you to tell me. I want to see how sharp people are. And by the way, anybody who gets on the show this hour will get a complimentary gift from Michael Savage of a fresh copy of the first edition of Government Zero, which will be out in only a few weeks. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation, heard on over 260 stations across America, from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. Let's start on WABC.
Hello.
No, please don't ask me how I'm doing. What's your comment?
Okay, what I'd like to ask you to comment on is, recently on a talk show, it was said that, and it was taken for granted, that Donald Trump will not win. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are, why they were so positive that it's like a definite, well, he won't win, but he's just there for entertainment. And
well, because they don't want him to win, because they're sold lock, stock, and barrel to the government media complex, which is Democrat, 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 Socialist, Democrat, Socialist. That's all. Their vision for the world is a disaster for America. So naturally, they don't want him to win. He came out of nowhere. They thought he was a joke. They put him down, and many of the people who put him down in the beginning are suddenly speaking of him in glowing terms all of a sudden. Right in the beginning, oh, all of the geniuses, George Will, all these fake right-wingers, fake conservatives, oh, Trump is this, Trump is that. I can list them on my two hands who they were. They're not whistling the same tune anymore. He's a very serious candidate. I hope he's in it for the long haul, and I believe he can win. Who's going to beat him? Ben Carson? Rubio the Stooge? Who's going to beat him?
Common sense. He has a lot of common sense, and that's why people relate to him, because he's a straight shooter, and he speaks.
Yeah, you see the question. Listen to me. I threw questions at him. Did you hear him reading through notes? No. Did you hear him asking an advisor with something in his ear to tell him what to say? No. He uses common sense, and he answers you.
I agree.
All right, you get a copy of Government Zero. I hope I answered your question. The first hour, I talked about survival of the fittest. And I said that this has not really changed since Darwin first articulated this concept. Except now we have national suicide, because we are in a nation where the government itself is promoting weakness and flooding us with immigrants who will never integrate into the United States of America. And I talked about how can our nation survive. And I talked about liberalism is not really a mental illness. It's more like a retrovirus. It's more like AIDS than it is like anything else. I also talked about Biden. I talked about the fact that Arabic is the fastest growing language in the U.S. because Obama has flooded us with Middle Easterners. I talked about the vermin in ISIS and how they're raping their way across the Middle East, creating a baby boom. I then told you never give up your weapons. It's the only reason ISIS will never take over America. I also talked about the TPP trade deal, which will be very bad for America and only good for those rats who only care about their companies. Why are they shipping more jobs to Asia now? Even the AFL-CIO opposes this trade deal. And by the way, even sold-out England just said no to 100,000 more young Muslim refugees. That's what we talked about so far of the Savage Nation. I also talked about the hidden controlling wing of this government, and they may be ready to do something in the Democrat Party that you would never believe would happen. Call it a fantasy, call it a paranoia, I don't know. But something doesn't add up about dragging Biden up from nowhere, because he can't win against any Republican. Biden is no way this guy could win. They're trying to bring him up from the old, it's like the Communist Party was. They'd resurrect some old warrior from the early days of the revolution. That's Biden. And then they're rehabilitating him. And they're exercising the horse, putting him out on the track, having him walk around the track so that the crowds get used to seeing him walk. They thought he was comatose somewhere. And so if they want to put him in, you know, they figure, all right, let's just get him ready. They're putting him in the dugout, in other words, what we call a bench in radio, where someone's always ready to take your place if you should slip and falter, like the pilot on AA. That's all. All your good friends are waiting to take the microphone. So we can talk about any of these topics on the hour that remains. The phone number is 855-407-282. As you know, in this hour, I generally take more calls, and I play some of the great sound that the guys have pulled together from early in the morning. So what did you hear in that interview that's unique? Because I mean, I heard it. He didn't say anything new. Heard it all before. What did he say that's new? Let's go to something new here. KSFO, Michael, welcome to the program. What's your comment on the Trump interview?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I think he's personal. He's not pandering to, you know, big business. He's making it personal to China, to Russia, and actually discussing things. As opposed to...
Yeah, I don't know why people say he's not specific. He was as specific as a heart attack just now.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, it's like getting a blood test back that says your cholesterol is off, and here are the numbers. He didn't mince words. He didn't hem and haw. He didn't play it safe. He said it like it is, the way most of us see it as.
Talking.
Right? Okay, you win a free copy of Government Zero. Stay on the line. Next caller. Call us from all over the country. Charles on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. Go ahead. What's your comment?
Yeah, I agree with you that Trump is a respectful man. He's got to be respectful because he's a master negotiator. And this is one thing that nobody else brings to the table. This guy has gone from riches to rags to riches again. And it all is because he's a master negotiator. He wants to win, he negotiates to win, and he celebrates when he wins. That's what makes him great.
You're absolutely, maybe that's why I relate to him, because I've been up and down so many times, it's a seesaw in my life, and you do have to pull yourself up, and you can't do it by cursing people, you can only do it by blessing people, let me tell you that.
I agree.
You know, I mean, if anyone's listening to the show who's not doing well in life, and you're embittered, I got a little bit of advice for you. Don't let anyone see your bitterness, because it's not going to get you anything. People don't want to be around a loser. They only want to be around the winner. I'm telling you, that's the absolute truth of negotiation. They want to hear somebody who has something to offer them and someone who's a bit positive about it. They don't want to hear someone complaining about what someone did to them and how bad things are. No one has time for that. That's the reality of business, and it's the reality of politics. Thanks. Stay in the line. Government Zero goes out to you. Why do you like Donald Trump? Why don't you like Donald Trump? Who heard the interview and says, you know what, now that I really heard him for the third time on your show, I'm not going to vote for him. Anyone have that to say? You're welcome to call the one open line at 855-407-282. I promise I'll only tear your head off, not your arms. Line one, WMAC, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, this is Tina, and I heard Donald for, I think, the second interview on your show. And I've been on the fence a little bit. But after hearing his humbleness, and I don't know, just there was a different tone to him this side
Yes, there was. You heard a different tone. And I could almost tell you why that tone was different. You want me to tell you why I think he didn't sound the same this time?
Please, sir.
Because of me. He heard it in my tone. He was reacting to my tone, which has changed slightly. You know that, don't you?
I don't doubt that for one second, Michael. I love your show. I'm an outside account manager. I work in outside sales, so I get to listen to you every day just about. And you are what keeps me going. I work so hard. I have a very good job, but it's very, very tough where I am. It's hard to make sales. And hearing Donald today, it just makes me feel so much better about our future.
Well, that's right. That's what I was saying to him about my feelings, is that he's enabled me to be proud of my successes instead of hiding it like I did something wrong. This country is so twisted under Obama and the left-wing haters that every successful person wants to hide their success for fear that these jealous, fake revolutionaries will somehow take something away from them. Well, Donald is the new sheriff in town. He's the real America, and I hope to God he gets to the finish line. Stay on the line. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero right now on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Someone wrote this. To the young people who love this song and music, here is a romantic theme, and this music was played at a time when you danced holding your partner. You could dance with any girl or woman, but you held your girl closer. She was special. You danced as one, and you could feel her mind and body as you held her closely. Today's music, he writes, is tribal. There is no romance, and the words sound like drunken street talk. It is very hard to explain this to you because you may have little reference to what I am saying until you have been glided around a dance floor in the arms of someone you love. To this and many songs like it, you haven't lived. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful observation, not written by myself, but someone who wrote it instead underneath this song on YouTube, where I often find old rock and roll songs. And I thought I would share it with you because people like to say the 50s were a time of Neanderthals in America and everything was bad and this and that. But there were some things that were quite good and some things that would be great to bring back into America, including some of the music, by the way, and some of the feelings of that time, in plain English. So here we are, talking about the election, Donald Trump, ISIS, the so-called trade deal, Putin, who he said he met. I said, could you do business with him? He said, yes, because I'm a negotiator. I mean, he was very clear about that. Apparently, Obama can't do a deal with Putin. Putin disrespects him. I told you what after that. You remember the handshake, the famous one of last week? I mean, look, things happen so fast it's hard to remember. You remember there at the UN, week before the Pope came here with his hogwash? Then the UN meeting and Obama and the other corrupt officials with their hogwash. How many years have I told you it's nothing but a bunch of child molesters and grifters at the UN? Now it comes out, one of them stole $500,000. You hear? Another genius they found from Antigua to run something there, to build a basketball court in this house in Dobbs Ferry. My God. But I'm telling you something else. I'm getting somewhere else with this, which is that the world needs an American hero. The world needs an American winner. We've had nothing but American bumblers and losers for the last... Bush was 8 years, bumbler. Now we have this shady character in the White House. It's almost 7 years now of the shady character. That's 15 years without a clear American winner. We've been suffering at the beginning of the century. Put this in context. If we survive this president, and God pray we will, and we get through 10 years after this president, and the immigration is rolled back, people are deported, the Muslim influx is stopped at the gates. No more. No more. Where Americans feel they're safe in their own country to speak English. If we can get there again, people will look back and say, how the heck did it get so bad under Obama? How did they find a character like him and foist him on the American people? How did he get elected twice? How did they fool Eddie so completely? The guy with a ratchet set on his brain, who votes for him and still votes for him. I told you that I have many dwellings, and one of them is in a very lily-white little suburban neighborhood. And I noticed something intriguing. One creep who I don't even know here, who has an Obama sticker on his bumper, Obama 2008. He's trying to, like, tell everyone how liberal he is and how good. No matter what Obama does, he says, Obama right or wrong. You know, it's like Sieg Heil, right? So he has this Obama stuff on his house. Long after other liberals took it and threw it in the garbage, he has it up there to show you what a great liberal he is. He's the first in the neighborhood to put up the spider webs for Halloween for his brats. I want you to think about that. The bigger the liberal, they're the first to put up the Halloween exhibits. Go and look in your own neighborhood, see if I'm wrong. They celebrate Halloween and you get it? I mean, it was just a social observation. The first spider webs on the fence are his already. Mr. the Obama lover. He's got the white spider webs up already with the goblins. You say, well, what are you actually saying here? Just a social observation that they won't teach you at Harvard or Yale, which has been infiltrated with morons. I don't know where they get these people from. Well, I don't know where they get them from. No, I know exactly where they get them from. Did you see the one about the lesbian deacon over there, whatever she is, in England? She wants to take the crosses off churches in her area of England because it's offensive to Muslims. I'm not making it up. If I was making it up, you'd say he's making it up. Here, left side, it's linked from a British paper. Take a look at her face. Classic lesbian do-gooder. A lesbian bishop wants to remove crosses from a church to make it more inclusive and to allow Muslims to pray there. Can anyone tell me of a mosque anywhere in the universe that is inclusive? No callers on that one? Any interdenominational morons out there?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let me explain why the left hates Putin. And let me explain why the left is terrified that Trump will win. I have told you that Obama and the left-wing cabal has virtually steamrolled the entire world. They've crushed virtually everyone in their path. Obama crushed Netanyahu. He's reduced him to basically an almost irrelevant man. No matter what Netanyahu did, he's been crushed by the progressive Islamist agenda. So what's left for them to do? What is Obama... What is his game plan? Where does he want to go? Well, it's Russia. It's Russia. This administration has gone out of its way to antagonize and demonize Putin and Russia. Why? You have to ask why. It's not about Ukraine. That's the cover story. It's not about Ukraine. Post-communist Russia's interests don't always align with the United States's. But Russia would be a better fit than would Iran, wouldn't it? Russia is a large, powerful first world nation that faces the same kinds of threats from radical Islam that we face, only much closer to home. And so from an economic and political perspective, it is in the interest of the American people to foster closer ties with Russia. But my friends, here it comes. Unfortunately, Russia and her nationalist, conservative president do not fit in with the progressive Islamist agenda. Putin's domestic policies are not gay-friendly enough for the progressives. In 2013, Putin signed a law that made it illegal to promote propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations to minors. It subjects anyone who promotes homosexuality to minors a fine. The liberal media went crazy. And if you believe what the vermin in the media are saying about it, you think Russian police are rounding up homosexuals. But that's not what happened. The law does not make homosexuality illegal. As Putin himself said, quote, "This should not look as if we intend to persecute people of some non-traditional orientation. One does not preclude the other. I believe that such balanced approach is absolutely the right one. Such a balanced approach is the right one." And then I write this on page 103 of Government Zero, from where I am quoting. "Personally, I would oppose such a law here in the United States. But let's put things in perspective. If you promote homosexuality to children in Russia, you may be fined. Compare that to what happens to you just for being a homosexual in a radical Islamist country. There you get thrown off a rooftop and stoned to death. Where is the progressive outrage over that? Just as they looked the other way while Stalin and Mao killed 100 million people in the 20th century, progressives can look the other way while the Islamofascists burned people alive, raped them, enslaved them, and cut off their heads? Where are the so-called radical feminists on the wholesale enslavement and rape of non-Muslim girls as young as 8 years of age? Putin offends the other half of the Progressive Islamist Alliance with his policies against radical Islam, and I don't have to read any further. In Zero Military, in the book, I ask, where is our warrior king at the end of the Zero Military chapter? Where is our warrior king? It's certainly not Barack Hussein Obama. I wouldn't call him a great commander-in-chief. Who would you rank him with? One of the greats or one of the worst? Now, the man who put up the spider webs on his house would probably think he's the greatest military commander in history because he has deballed the military to such an extent that the military is almost ineffective. The Islamofascists, I remind you, are fighting a religiously sanctioned war, if you consider Islam a religion at all. Retired U.S. Admiral James Ace Lyons does not consider it a religion. He said, quote, until you recognize Islam as a political movement, masquerading as a religion, you're never going to come to grips with it, close quote. And he asks, how else could you describe these maniacs who are willing to kill boys in Iraq, machine gun them for watching soccer in the name of Allah? No religion would teach that. These are the brutal tactics of a Jacobin political movement. That's one more thing the progressives and Islamofascists have in common. And I go on. And I say that now we're back to where we were in the Middle Ages with the Islamofascists on the march towards Vienna. This is not World War I. We are not fighting European nations who recognize international rules of war. We're fighting throwback lunatics who don't realize it's 2015 and who rape, murder, and torture as their ancestors did 1,000 years ago. And I write this, we don't need a jobs program. We don't need diversity in the Air Force. We don't need equal opportunity for mullahs. We need a warrior king crusader to rebuild our military and defend Western civilization once again. And then I close the chapter with a little paragraph, which I feel compelled to read you, called The Viking's Fate. If you think social engineering of the U.S. military is without consequences, I invite my skeptical readers to study the Danish or Swedish military of today. After many a decade of progressiveness, the descendants of Vikings are today unable or unwilling to defend their homeland against an Islamist invasion. Witness the capitulation. Thank the progressives, the gays, the feminists, and the socialists. Is this what you want for the United States, to be a helpless giant? They do. No one has written anything as powerful. It's called Government Zero, out in a few weeks. You can buy it on Amazon. Buy it for a friend. Buy it for a neighbor who puts up the spider webs before Halloween even appears. Buy it for the neighbor who is so pompous that no matter what this progressive Islamist alliance does, they support it because they are blind. They are blind, they are deaf, they are dumb. 855-400-7282. Some callers now. Daniel on KSFO, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
I just want to say I'm so thankful for being able to listen to your Trump conversation. And I don't call it an interview because I heard genuine warmth. I heard the truth, which is most important. And I heard an intelligent conversation between two individuals that absolutely care about this country.
Well, you did. That's true. And I think it's for similar and different reasons at the same time. He recognizes that unless we stop this progressive Islamist revolution that's going on right in front of our eyes, any successful family is in their crosshairs, and they're going to be destroyed. And they have to be, and the opposition has to be stopped. And I think most middle-class Americans recognize that. I genuinely do. I don't think you have to be wealthy to understand what they'll do to the middle class unless they are rolled back. We are fighting for our national survival. After 7 years of this demon and what he's doing to this country, and it's just gotten worse with the so-called trade deal, he hasn't stopped. The man is a maniac. He won't stop in his desire to decimate this nation's middle class. And that's why I said in the last hour that I think that they're warming up Biden in the bullpen because even the Democrats are terrified of the damage he's causing to their brand. I'm going to send you a copy of Government Zero. I hope to give Donald Trump a copy of the book. Glad to hear his book was delayed a week. I think that they did delay it by a week, because it would have been crazy for the two of us to have a book out the same week in the bookstores. First of all, my publisher, I got to tell you point blank, when I heard about it, I said, what the heck is going on here? Why would his publisher publish on October 27th, the same day as Government Zero? My publisher has bought, there's a thing in the book business, I think it's called front of store display, I don't exactly know what it's called. They pay a lot of money to get your book placed on the counter and in up front, you know, of, in front of the stores. It's a huge expense. Well, my book's going to be there. And that place is taken. You can't buy it now. You understand how that works? It was bought like months ago. And so any other book that's going to be competing with mine will not be as visible as mine in the first two or three days. And that's where I'm counting on you, the Army, the Savage Army. I want you to go out like locusts to clean the shelves out. But the point is that it would have been foolish to have two great books by two great Americans out the same day, sort of like competing banjos, you know, on the stage. And I'm glad to hear that it may not happen on exactly the same day. Just telling you, you know, what came up. I said, oh my God, I mean, why is this happening? Why would they be out on the same day? Well, I said, maybe their publishers, the publisher conspired to knock one book against the other. I said, it can't be that crazy. They're both in business. They wouldn't do a thing like that. Well, who knows who controls anything? Who knows who owns what? Who knows where the fingers, you know, emanate from? What would you like to say in the remaining minutes of this hour of the Savage Nation? It's a good day for me. Let me look at my website and see what stories are on the michaelsavage.com. Trump on Savage today. Tweet your friends. Well, that's over. Next picture, we see the corrupt bum from the UN there. No place in the United Nations, ex-UN General Assembly leader accused of pocketing $500,000 in bribes. Take a look at him. Go ahead. Take a look at him. Nice suit, nice tie. Built himself a basketball court, got a Rolex, a suit, vacations. Stole the money. That's according to the prosecutor. I didn't say. Here's another one for you. Those of you who think ISIS is not a real threat, that we in the right are just making it up. ISIS thugs crucify Christian boy age 12 after slicing off fingertips in front of his father because they would not convert to Islam. It's a religion of peace, is. Yeah, it's a religion of peace, is. London Mirror. Guess they made that up, too, in order to make the people who put up the spider webs feel good. There's another picture on my website, which you're definitely going to want to share, what Obama will not fight. It's a picture of an ISIS baby with a hand grenade on one side of the infant's head and a pistol on the other side. The picture has since been taken down. It's a little too graphic. We captured it before they removed it. Here's another little story from the London Daily Mail. Arabic now the fastest growing language in the U.S. Thank you, Hussein. Another little story from WND now. Lesbian bishop remove crosses from the church. She wants to make it more inviting for Muslims to pray there. Look at her. She's a kindly woman. She looks like Kris Kringle's sister. She could be a female Santa Claus. And she just wants to do good. But as I told you a million times, the road to you nowhere is paved with good intentions. Finally, in the middle of michaelsavage.com, there's a picture of soldiers that puts the fear of God into the hearts not only of ISIS, but the sorority that surrounds Obama. Putin sends feared Spetsnaz special forces into Syria to bail out Assad. Well, that's certainly true. But in addition to bailing out Assad, they're certainly going to send ISIS to hell, where I'm sure the virgins are waiting for them with open arms. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. It is the Savage Nation, and people are just flooding the switchboards here to talk about what they felt about Donald Trump's interview. For those of you who missed the whole thing or caught none of it, I'm going to post it on my website, michaelsavage.com, after the show. We're going to MP3 it so you can listen to it again if you'd like to catch it and see what you catch inside of it that you didn't hear, that you don't think. It wasn't the same old, I mean, oh, we heard it before, he's everywhere, what's he really saying? He's not specific. I hear that from idiots. They don't listen to him. They already made up their mind, all the genius. He's not specific. He was very specific. He opposes the trade deal, as do I, because it's bad for American business, as does the AFL-CIO. He likes Putin. He can do business with him. That's pretty clear. And he believes that Russia should be let to do what it wants to do with regard to killing ISIS. Because if they want to invest money, let them do it. He's looking at it from a pragmatic point of view. That's simple. That's all. Let's take a couple of quick calls in the time that remains. KSFO, Marlene, what's your comment? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Trump was more confident than ever before, and saying that to make America great, it's such a simple message that it can get across to any average person.
That's right. And even the guy who has wing nuts in his ears, who works in a tire shop. Anyone who works in a tire shop, and that's all he hears is this. That's all he hears all day long. Even he can understand that Trump might be good for the country. Stay on the line, Marlene. We'll send you a copy of your government. Zero. I'm not putting down tire guys. I'm just saying that's an example. You know, we keep hearing that America is a racist country. I want to remind you that the country is predominantly white people. Let's start with that. That's A. It's still true, despite what the vermin in the media would have you believe. And number two, was it not for the white vote, Obama never would have gotten elected. Don't forget that. So how is it that he hoodwinked so many so-called liberal Democrat white male blue-collar workers to vote for him? Because he lied to them. He hoodwinked them. He's a master salesman. Obama's probably the best salesman in the history of the world. And he tricked them. Now, the fact of the matter is, even they, the guy in the tire shop is too busy to even listen to a show like this. He sees a few things have happened. He sees that Obama's impotence and lies have come to the forefront with regard to ISIS. He's been screwing around, like bombing. Nothing happened. They got bigger and stronger. The average guy understands that. They know weakness. They can smell it and see it. They know Obama's been shucking and jiving them, giving them a pile of garbage, a plate full of rotten beans with regard to ISIS. How do they know that all of a sudden? How was it so hard, they asked. They didn't even ask, actually, why was it so hard to take out ISIS with the most powerful military on the planet? We have 10 aircraft carrier groups on the oceans of the world, and we couldn't take out ISIS. We have ballistic submarines floating under the seas that can target a city. They couldn't take out ISIS. So something was wrong there. Now, Putin goes in, and in a week already got them on the run, according to British newspapers, not according to the San Francisco paper. They're too busy covering a festival on the square. And then on top of it all, not only is he going to take them out, but he's going to wipe them off the planet. There's a story here from the, what newspaper is this out of England? Russia has sent its crack special forces into Syria. And they're called the Spetsnaz. Perhaps I'm not pronouncing them properly. And the headline is, the move is a blow to Britain and America's mission to wipe out ISIS but maintain an opposition to brutal dictator President Assad. Russia has sent its crack special troops into Syria to back up Assad and his bid to wipe out his opposition. Putin's feared Spetsnaz unit and a covert para-battalion ghosted into the war-torn country and are preparing for an all-out assault on rebels fighting the regime, including moderate units such as the Western-backed Free Syrian Army. That's if there is such a thing. A military source said Putin's Marines are there to guard the air bases they are using against sabotage by rebels. But Spetsnaz and air assault troops are not there to provide security to static objects. They are extremely aggressive and highly trained. And let me tell you something else. He's not going to court-martial them if they kill ISIS, unlike Obama and Bush, who court-martialed our men who went out to kill. They're there to kill, and kill they will. They're there to mop up after airstrikes, call in airstrikes, go on extremely covert missions against rebels and ultimately wipe them out. And by the way, there's more to it than that. These people are as tough as you can imagine, and they're not bound by Obama's rules of engagement. In addition to them, they've been joined by the 7th Air Assault Mountain Division, among Russia's toughest and most shadowy troops. They went on bloody revenge missions against local jihad units to punish them for atrocities against Russian troops and civilians.